Welcome to Performance Day's Functional Fabric Fair podcast. You are listening to a sustainability presentation from April 2016. Mr. Carlos Entonce, CEO HiQ Materials AG presents Fluorine-Free DWR, Learning from Nature.
And I'm going to present you briefly a presentation concerning water repellency, and especially water repellency based on non-fluorinated compounds. I'm going to take a little bit of time to bring you into the science and the background of what water repellency is. If you have any questions, don't feel ashamed to raise the hand. We can address it. This shouldn't be a presentation which goes front up, but should be interactive. So, the technology range at HiQ of fluorine freeze is called HiQ Eco Dry. We have focused over the last years, 5 years, on the development of a range of performance technologies that can match the fluorine technologies in performance level. We have focused on trying to keep the textile and the wearer stay dry and clean, but we will see what clean means for us. So at the base of all the works that HiQ is doing is trying to learn from nature and really going back, asking the questions, why does it work like this? And how can we make it in a similar way, or how can we copy that or improve on something that is out there? And in nature, there's plenty of examples of water repellency. We can see on feathers, on leaves, on flowers, and there's different technologies on how nature is creating water repellency. On a chemical side, but also on a structural side, as we will see later. So repellency means to be clean and dry, to minimize the contact between the substance that we don't want to wet and the textile. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a closer look at that drop here, and we're going to abstract this drop from the textile substrate to a flat surface, just for the sake of science. Of course, we all know the textile is not flat. It never is flat. But we abstract to go on a flat surface. What we measure in order to determine repellency is a contact angle. The contact angle is the angle that you can see here between the water drop and the surface. Now, the higher this contact angle, the more water repellency. At 180 degrees, you see there's a nice drop standing on top of the surface textile. You can see that below 90 degrees, the water is starting to get absorbed into the textile. We call this contact angle hydrophilic technologies and hydrophobic technologies. Above 90 degrees, it's hydrophobic. Below, it's hydrophilic. This just for the sake of making a determination of the terminology. If we move into the super hydrophobic ranges, then we are above 150 degrees up to the 180s. Now, that's contact angle, and many of you might have heard talking about that, but what does contact angle really mean? Well, contact angle actually means contact surface. And you can see, the higher the contact angle, then smaller the contact surface between the water drop, in this case, and the textile surface. So it's clear that if we have less surface, it's easier to get it away. That's where repellency comes from. We have to try to minimize the contact area. And this is what happens here. Okay, we take the water, we put it on a textile, and there's always going to be a fight between two forces. It's the fight between the cohesion of the liquid itself, of the water, who wants to stay together as a droplet, and it's the fight between the adhesion of the water to the surface. How much is it attracting my water drop? And that's physics, and this cohesion and adhesion we can now bring back to what we saw before, to the contact angle. And we can say then higher the contact angle and then lower the contact surface, then more cohesion we have, then more the water wants to stay together with itself. And on the other side, if we have the adhesion, it wants to stick on the fabric. Now, cohesion and adhesion. Complicated equation of Young. How are they working together? I'm not going to go into that detail. Important for you is the objective. What we need to do with chemistry is to lower the surface energy. To lower the surface energy of the solid in contact with the liquid. We're bringing, as a chemical manufacturer, we're bringing the chemical layer between the solid, in our case the fabric, and the liquid, the water. Now let's have a look at this value, and this is really the key value. And repellency is all driven by this value. It's surface energy. What's the surface energy of water? In our case, 72. That's the intrinsic physical surface energy that water has. Can you change it? No. That's physics. What's the surface value of octane? 22. Octane is an oil. It's much, much lower. Okay, let's have a look at the next one. Let's have a look at the solid, the textile in our case. What's the surface energy of polyamide? No chemical on top, just the polyamide itself. It's 46. What's the polyester value? It's 43. You can see very similar surface energies, but very different from water, but higher than the oils. Now, what's the game about? We need to change the surface contact energy. And we need to change this by bringing the chemistry inside. And now we have a couple of choices of chemistry. And let's first start with the chemistry that is going to be banned, fluorinated chemistry, C8 components. The best technology available, CF3 end groups. What's the surface energy of this? 6. Extremely low. If you compare water, 72, 6. Okay, let's move to a less good fluorochemical, what we are still allowed to use on the market. C6 technologies, surface energy 18, still very low, but clearly a higher value. Let's move into the best available fluorine-free technologies, CH3-based, hydrocarbon-based ones. Surface energy, depending on the technology, between 20 and 24. And we take paraffin type of fluorine-free technologies, surface energy of 31. So you can see we have a range of surface energies. We have a range of surface energies that different liquids have. And we have a range of surface energies of different fabrics that we can have. Let's put them all together in the picture. And we make a nice graph here where we plot the surface energy from 80 to 0. And we remember water at 72. Here it is. We remember the polyamide at 46. And now we remember a fluorine-free technology at 23 here. And now you start to see the correlation. If you want to repel something, you need to have a lower surface energy than the liquid you want to repel. It's very simple. If you want to repel octane, there's not much choice you have technologically but to go into fluorines. If you want to repel water, well, you can use all the technologies. Of course, it's possible. We have enough distance. So let's have a look what that means. And we look at an example. We have a polyester, no chemistry, just polyester. We put a drop of water on top. This is how it will look. We have a nice distance here. That's why water is not absorbed directly into polyester. So we have a high cohesion of the liquid, a low adhesion, low wetting. So the drop is going to stand on a polyester, even if it's not treated with chemistry. Let's take the best available technology from a performance point of view, the C8 fluorochemical. And you can see this distance is becoming huge. So what's going to happen here? The droplet is going to stand perfectly round on top of the fabric. We have a high cohesion and a very low adhesion, very low wetting. Okay, let's make another example. Let's take the polyester still, but we put peak xylene, paraffin on it. Well, the surface energy of peak xylene is lower than the surface energy of the polyester. So what's going to happen? The paraffin oil is going to penetrate into the polyester. It's getting soaked in. We have no repellency at all. Why? Because the surface energy is lower. Simple concept. Okay, we take again the best weapon that we have to create repellency, the CA technology, and you can see that the distance for peak xylene and CF3, C8 fluorochemical becomes reasonably big. So we get some repellency of the paraffin oil of this treated fabric. Low cohesion, very low adhesion, low wetting. So that's all the concept behind the science of how you create repellency. So what we have to be able to do is to determine what do we want to repel and what chemical choices do we have to do the job. So profiling has become a key job because the C8 technologies are not available anymore. The C6 technologies are in doubt for the future. And we have to play around in the chemical industry with less good technologies that have less surface energy or higher surface energy for the repellency. So it becomes important that we do clear profiling, and it becomes very important that we do the best possible process application of these technologies. When you used to have a C8 technology with a surface energy of 6, you can make 40 mistakes in the manufacturing. It's going to work out fine. No problem. When you have a technology that you need to use with surface energy of 30 and you need to repel maybe some oily substances, you can make one mistake. You make two mistakes, it doesn't work. So let's plot out water, oils or heavy oils, fluorochemicals. And let's make a chart here of the repellency, what can repel, water repellency, high water repellency, oil repellency, high oil repellency, and what can do what? Well, the fluorochemicals can repel oil because they have a lower surface energy. The fluorine freeze, can they repel oil? Never again ask if a fluorine free can repel oil. Now you know why. They cannot. They are on the similar level of surface energy. So there is no repellency. Can they replace some type of oily substances that are not water? Yeah, there are some. As soon as the distance becomes big enough, there's going to be some repellency. So the fluorine free technologies are and are only suited for water repellency. The fluorochemicals are suited for water and oil repellency. Durable water repellency is what is the aim. You can obtain it with both types of technologies, but the oil, durable oil repellency is only obtainable with the fluorochemicals. So quickly on oil repellency, it has been historically asked for. Where is this oil repellency coming? For most outdoor fabrics or fabrics that are not workwear or army or police, it's water repellency that is required. It's not oil repellency. Stain repellency is something else than water repellency. That's how can I get my textile clean once it has gotten dirty. It's not how can I repel a heavy oil. I'm not exposed to heavy oils. I'm not every day fixing my car. I buy an Audi in Germany. You don't have to fix them. But we have some substances that are in between. An oil, like a heavy oil, will be repelled only by fluorochemicals. Let's take a ketchup. It depends how the ketchup is formulated. Are they putting an oil with a high surface energy or an oil with a low surface energy into that textile, into that ketchup. And depending on how the textile is formulated, you can or cannot repel a ketchup with a fluorine-free technology. Why is oil repellency helpful in general? Well, it, for most applications, if it is not the fire workers or the army and some special protective workwear, it's to keep the textile free of stain, clean. Again, this can be achieved by stain repellents, which is another technology family that has nothing to do with the fluorocarbons. So we can really say that oil repellency is a legacy requirement of the market, especially in outdoor fabrics. If we have to work with fluorine-free technologies, we need to reframe that requirement, and we need to say why and for what do we really need oil repellency, and you will see it is a very narrow sector where it is still required. Now, why are we going fluorine-free? Well, there's already a switch going on the market from C8 to C6, and I'm sure everybody of you has heard about it. We're talking about PFOA and PFOS. This is byproducts from the manufacturing process of fluorine polymers, and can be found in wastewaters, in water, in human blood. The industry did a great job. They already really tried to optimize the manufacturing processes, and the C6 products minimize this PFOA and PFOS issue. It's not completely gone, but it's minimized. So this is a clear, nice industry practice work that has been done by all the players involved in this field. Still, there is always going to be a concern on fluorochemicals in general. Are they persistent in the environment? Yes. Are they bioaccumulative? Yes. Is there one single study proving that they do a damage? No. Are they potentially dangerous? Yes. Have we proven that they are dangerous? No. That's science. That's the status of science today. So there's a lot of talk in the market, but is it potentially that dangerous? Should we look at alternatives? Yes, we should look at alternatives. And that's why we should go into the fluorine freeze. Very important in our market is consumer awareness. And in the industry, we learned that of chemicals, we learned that if there is a negative talk about the technology, scientific or non-scientific, true or untrue, nowadays, with the communication tools out there, the battle is already lost in the start. So you have to move to the next technology field when the technology gets under attack. Today, there is a very nice research that was done here by the European Outdoor Group, and they researched the topics with consumers and outdoor brands on the awareness of PFCs, of fluorine components. Well, the consumer awareness was pretty high. 57% do not know that products they have contain fluorine, but the rest does. 70% of the consumer was not aware of any environmental impact of the consumers of the fluorine technologies, but 30% do. And this after just 2 years of campaigning by Greenpeace. So there's a very high awareness of the consumer already that fluorine chemicals are an issue, and it's growing. And depending on the regions, you go to Scandinavia, it's 45%, of course. They are more sensitized to that. If you go to Central Europe or the US, it's still already 30% of the consumer base that is aware of this. For us, this is a clear sign the trend has switched. This technology is going to be defocused. It will always be present for the firefighters, for the army, for the special tasks, and for the oil repellency. There it is required, but it will become obsolete for the mass market, where we can use fluorine-free technologies. So just to allocate the consumer perception on fluorine that came out of this study, chemical pollution, water pollution, harmful to humans, etc., etc. So that's not good publicity on your product and on your brand equity to work with fluorine technologies going forward. That's why there's a growing demand of fluorine-free technologies, but there's also the difficulty that we saw before. We have a higher surface energy. The manufacturer that puts the chemical on the fabric has to make less mistakes. The partnership between the chemical player and the manufacturer to make it work has to be increased to get a good product and not disappoint our consumers on the market. So there's various fluorine-free technologies and approaches that you can pursue. In general, there's three families. There's the paraffins. There is silicone-based fluorine-free technologies. And there's multi-branched technologies, typically polyurethanes. There's really not much more than that. Chemistry has limitations in the molecules we can use, are allowed to use, to create a performance finish. And it's these three product families that you will see over today, 50 different players on the market that are offering fluorine-free technologies. Let's have a look at them and compare them, and also compare them with the old technologies, the C6 and the C8 fluorochemicals. Water repellency. We saw that. All have it. Not a problem. Oil repellency. No more questions on why fluorine-free are not repelling oils. Everybody knows that now. Surface energy. So no oil repellency. And of course the C8, great oil repellency because of the surface energy of 6. Wash durability. And here we start to lose out on the paraffins and the silicones. They have weak points there. They are not super wash fast, especially not for requirements of 20 more washes. They drop out earlier. They can do 10 washes, 5 to 10 washes. That's where they can play. The polyurethanes have that. If we move into the abrasion resistance, also here, an issue with the first two ones, they're not very abrasion resistant. That's also why during the washing, there's a lot of abrasion. They go away quickly. So they move away. We lose them. They're good for products that don't get washed frequently. Shoes. That's a good place where you can do it. You wash it once, twice, three times, that's fine. Then we come to the topic of breathability. Very important on outdoor. We have membranes. It's important to use a chemistry that is not impairing breathability. Well, the paraffins have a downside on that. They do reduce the breathability of a fabric once you apply them. They cover up too much. The other technologies are pretty good on that. And last but not least, there's almost no textile you can sell without a nice touch. Consumers that buy a textile, not online, of course, there they can't touch it. But if they buy it in the shop, and that's still 60% today, they touch the textile and the hand is very important. So you need to have a nice hand. Typically, a C8 chemistry was starting to go off in a very bulky hand. The paraffins have not such a nice hand. The otherwise have a quite acceptable hand feel that they give you, despite their repellent performance. That's putting them as technology families in a comparison, and now you can map out your profile. What product do I need? Which technology do I want to take? Very important is when you think about repellency and how you can actually get it. We have this surface energy. I symbolized it nicely with the flat surface, the green layer of chemistry, the water drop on top. Well, textile is not flat. It's filaments, many filaments. And actually, we need to coat and build a film around each single one of the filaments. And we need to do that in a very, very short time during the finishing process, typically less than a few seconds of contact that we have with the textile. So we need to focus on the chemical properties of the interface. And we need to get that job done right. Can we do something more? Or is nature doing something more? Is nature working only with a film? No, nature is mainly working with structure. And now we're bringing the topic of structure into the topic, into the discussion. And we start to have a look at what does structure mean for this repellency? And there's two models. There's one model called the Cassis and Baxter model. Now we have something who looks more like a textile. It's not flat, huh? It has some surface. And we have air in between. So the water drop is actually not contacting the entire area that it would contact, would it be flat. So if you have structure, you have less surface contact area. Means you have more repellency. Okay, there's another model, the Wenzel model, which says that liquids on a surface with a structure will go inside the structure and cover it. But also for this case, we have less contact area that the water has with the substrate. So structure can reduce contact between substances and the surface, and structure can give you higher repellency, independent from the chemistry that you're using. So do we want to have structure on the surface? Yes. Let's have a look at nature. Lotus leaf. What is it on the surface? It's microstructures with nanostructured surface on the microns. We can actually see these nice little dots here. That's silica dots that the leaf is producing. They create a higher repellency. Butterfly. How's a butterfly wing looking? Well, it's looking like that. It's also structure. Does it get wet? No. Has also a nice side effect that by having this structure, it creates these beautiful colors, because actually it is all gray. It's just by different refractive indexes of the surface structure that you get the color. But you also get the repellency. So structure on the surface is something that we want to have to increase repellency. How can we do that? Okay, just an example out of our trick box. It's one of our technologies, the RCF, which is a particle-based system. You can see a nice woven fabric here. And we're going in order of magnification, and we're looking at the particles that we're putting there. They get bigger. Here we expand this fiber. We have them here. Let's have an even bigger look at one of the single dots here. And you can see this chunk of silicon dioxide that we have anchored on the surface of the fabric. How does that look? Well, this is the lotus leaf that we looked before. That's how it looks on the lotus leaf at the same magnification. Have we created something that looks somehow similar? Probably for the water drop, it looks quite similar. So the repellency is increased. So by putting a micro-sized particle system on a surface, together with the chemistry, we just enhance the performance of the water repellency. So surface, chemistry, and structure. And together, you can increase the performance level. So it's really relevant to get nice repellency effects, especially when you have to work with fluorine-free technologies, which have, by physical definition, a lower surface energy and have more difficulty to get the repellency that you wanted. So if we map them out, paraffins and silicones, the multi-branched ones, and then we say, where's the best place to go? It's if you can combine that with complex structures. So as a summary, durable water repellency is a key functionality. It's required on the market in many applications. There is a growing demand for fluorine-free treatments. Public opinion is switching away from fluorines, so it's a lost battle to stay on that field. Fluorine-free repellency gives you the chance to, or obliges you to look at a combination of chemistry and structure. And nature-inspired structures are a positive and potentially very powerful technology to complement your performance of fluorine-free technologies. Just a few words on HiQ so you know who we are. We're based in Switzerland. We're 11 years old. Small company, but distributed over the globe. We do three things in one. We're a chemical manufacturer and developer. We create new chemistry. We manufacture new chemistry in Switzerland. But most importantly, innovation for us is a concept that is continuous. We make the marketing stories and marketing support of our technologies downstream to the consumer. So whatever comes from HiQ is prepackaged chemically, technically, manufacturing, logistic-wise, but also gives you the innovation story to tell your consumer, what is it all about? Why is it all about this? And what's good about this technology? Yeah, we got a couple of medals. We're spread out over the world, and we really focus strongly on innovation. And that's the slide where I want to close. Innovation is always a venture. It's a voyage. You're not doing this voyage for the sake of profit, but you're doing this voyage for the sake of knowledge. And that's where HiQ and its brand partners are specialized, and where we invite everybody that wants to work with us to join. We have a booth over there. If you want to have a drop by and learn more about our technology, be our guests.
Thank you for listening to Performance Day's Functional Fabric Fair podcast. To get your free ticket for the next fair or listen to other presentations, go to performancedays.eu. Copyright April 2016 by Design and Development GmbH, Textile Consult. All rights are reserved.